But you remember several weeks ago, we were putting 2 and 3 John together, and we talked about it, and we said that in Acts chapter 20, we don't want to turn there this morning, but several weeks ago, we looked and talked about the passage in Acts chapter 20 where Paul met with the elders of the church of Ephesus, and he gave some instructions and warnings, and he told them that there were two dangers that the church would face. Two dangers. One is false teachers. Two is divisive people. The false teachers, he said, you'll face a danger from without. False teachers trying to come into the church. The book of 2 John dealt with that issue, the issue of false teachers, and he basically says, don't let them into the body. Then the second issue was divisive people, and the book of 3 John deals with that because divisive people divide the body. And we see in this letter, 3 John, a divisive man, and we know that truth must be balanced by love. And we'll see that as we go through this. This morning, we're going to finish 3 John, and we're going to go fairly quickly through this because there's some things in there that we want to just talk about and let you see how it fits together. As we begin, let me tell you a story about a pastor friend of mine. That he went to took a job at his church, and he was all excited. And when he went there, everything looked good, and there were some good people. Right after he got there, he had met this man during the interview process that he would say that probably was one of the main men in the church. And the people who talked about this man, how much he knew the Bible, and that he had been a leader in that church for years and years and years. Well, it wasn't very long that as they got into the thing that my pastor friend would say, let's try this or let's do this, and this man would say, no, that's not how we do it in this church. Sorry. And when there were little bitty issues, it was no big deal. And so my pastor friend would go, we just won't try that or something. But then it got to an issue that he considered a doctrinal issue, something that he felt that the Bible stood for. And as he was trying to pass that through and get that going, this man came to him and said, listen, we're not going to do it that way because that's not how we do it in this church. And he said, listen, I want you to understand something. I was here before you came, and I'll be here long after you're gone, and I'm the one that decides what happens in this church. Well, immediately there's a conflict and a division, and it wasn't very long before this man had a group of people who were opposed to the pastor, and within less than a year after he went there, my friend was gone from that church. As he left, he realized that he was the fourth pastor in 8 years, and I think the problem was a divisive man. This morning, as we look at 3 John, we're going to see the problem. John writes to deal with a man named Diotrephes, who in John's word is a man who wants the preeminence, a man who must be first. So we're going to see that. As we begin, let's remember what we've seen these last several weeks. It's taken us 2 weeks at a time, 2 weeks in 2 John, now 2 weeks in 3 John, and we're putting them together. And you remember, 2 John teaches that love must be balanced by truth, and 3 John teaches that truth must be balanced by love. In 2 John, he deals with the false teachers. In 3 John, he deals with the divisive man. And as we begin this letter, I want you to think about it. There are three men mentioned in this letter. One named Gaius, one named Diotrephes, and the other named Demetrius. Gaius is his friend, and he commends him. He's a good friend of John's. He calls him the beloved 3 times in those first 8 verses. And then there's the man named Diotrephes, and he's a divisive man. He's not showing love. That's the problem, and some other things as well. The third one mentioned is a man named Demetrius. We don't know much about him. He says he has a good testimony. Apparently, he's one of those traveling around preacher, teacher, evangelist that we talked about that went in the first century. Now, last time we looked in those first 8 verses, we saw that man named Gaius. And I just want to remind you this because I think it was so powerful to think about this man. There were 3 things that were talked about this man that stood out. And we said that if we were going to think about our own lives, could we be compared in the same way? Would we be described in the same way as Gaius? There were 3 things. If you remember what they were, the first one was that he was a man who walked in the truth. Look at verse 3. He says, "For I was very glad when the brethren came and bore witness to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth." Gaius is a man who lived his life based on the Scripture. He lived by the Word of God. Well, that's what we want to be. We want to be men and women who are known as those who live by the Scripture, who live our lives based on the Word of God. That was the first thing. The second thing is he was described as a faithful man. Look at verse 5. He says, "Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren." He says you are a faithful man. You do faithful things. And that's the second thing. We want to be described as men and women who are faithful, faithful to fulfill the Word of God, faithful to use our gifts and talents and ministries to touch lives. And then the third thing, he was described as a loving person. Look at verse 6. "And they bear witness to your love before the church." He was a man who's showed his love by his actions. So if you were going to describe Gaius, he was a man who walked in the truth, who walked in love, and he was faithful. Well, that's how we want to be described. We want to be people who walk in the truth, that's the Word of God, who walk in love, that's showing love for other people, and that we are faithful people. So that's how we want to be described. That would be great. Now from this, we get to the hard part. starting at verse 9 and really going through about verse 11. 9, 10, and 11, we deal with this man. His name, Diotrephes. And to be honest, I wish it wasn't here. I wish that John ended at verse 8 and then we could go to 2 Peter. Because there's a lot of good, we're going to study in 2 Peter. We'll start that next week. But this book is here and it's given for a reason. And all of us are going to deal with some of these things in our lives, especially if you go to church the rest of your life, if you're involved in ministry in a local church, if you serve in a church, there are going to be things like this. We look at the problem. The man's name is Diotrephes. He's a powerful man who caused division in the local church, in this body. Remember the two problems that we said that could always happen in the church? One is false teachers, the other is divisive people. In 2 John, we talked about false teachers coming from outside the church. And then in 3 John, we see divisive people coming from within inside the church. Well, let's see what John has to say. Look at verse 9. He says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. Now, he said, I wrote something to the church. Now, I want you to understand, who is John? I mean, John is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is the authority. He is writing with authority. And best that we could tell, he may have been writing a letter saying, there's a man named Demetrius. He's coming around. He's one of those preacher teachers. Take care of him. We're going to find that Diotrephes said, I ignore this letter. He says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the first among them, does not accept what we say. Now, I want you to think about this. Here is John, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He writes a letter. A man by the name of Diotrephes, who apparently is one of the leaders in this church, does not accept the letter from the apostle John. Now, just think about that. That's not just some ordinary guy writing a little note saying, hey, would you accept this guy? We're talking about an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a couple of words. Let me just remind you of this. These apostles were men sent forth with authority. There are two words that just want to stand out that sometimes we get mixed up. One is the word disciple. The other is apostle. Disciple comes from a Greek word, mathetes, which means a learner or a father, a follower. And that has that idea that you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and then you choose that you're going to live for Him. You become a disciple. The second word is apostle. It comes from the Greek word apostolos, which means one sent forth with authority. When Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, He sent out 12 people. There were 11, and then they chose another one. Remember that originally it was 12, and one of them killed himself. And then there were 11 men, Peter and James and John and Andrew and Bartholomew and those guys. He sent them out with authority, and they were the authority until the canon of Scripture was completed. They were getting the direct revelation from God. The apostles wrote the New Testament. These letters, I mean, we're looking at the ones that John wrote. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the book of Revelation. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is an authority, and when these apostles say it, it is revelation. So here is a man with the authority from God, and he writes a letter, and this man named Diotrephes refuses to accept it. That would be today, as if you said, I reject the letter to the Romans. I'm not gonna accept it. I don't believe it. I'm just not gonna hold to it. I reject this letter. That's what he did. John wrote something, and this guy rejects it. Now I want you to see this man. And as we see this man as described in these couple of verses, I want you to see what a divisive person is. Because if you live long enough, you're going to be in a local body in which some divisive people will raise up. Remember the two dangers. The danger is false teachers coming in from outside the church, bringing in teaching that will destroy the body. The other danger is divisive people within the body raising up, causing divisions and causing the splits and divisions, which most of you all your life have heard of church splits and problems and division. That's what divisive people do. As we look through this, we're going to do two things. Number one is we're going to look at five characteristics of a divisive person found in this passage, and then we're going to see how do you deal with a divisive person. So let's look first. He says in verse 9, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. Now, the first characteristic of a divisive person is this. It says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, here it is, number one, who loves to be first among them. The first characteristic of a divisive person is the pride issue. They want to be the first one. They want to be the leader. They've got to be the one that decides. He wants to be the one who is in control and in charge. And apparently in this local church, Diotrephes was the man in charge because he decided, I'm not accepting this letter. I'm not doing that. Pride is a dangerous thing. Think about it. Pride caused the fall of Satan. Pride caused the fall of mankind. In fact, if you take almost all of the sins that we do, almost the underlying issue of every one is pride, and it goes back to that. And so here's this man who wants to be the first. There's an old saying that pride is the only disease that makes everyone else sick other than the one who has it. And it's true. There is a truth that God raises up people to take places of leadership in local churches. They are not to be prideful men. I want you to understand that Countryside, this church, a lot of you have college students, you may not understand, this church has a board. We have elders and deacons. We have approximately 14 people on our board, 14 men. Over a period of time, God has raised these men up, and this local body has recognized these men, placing them in places of responsibility. They are godly men. They are men whose hearts are for God, and they are not prideful men. They have been raised up to take positions of responsibility. When I look at this passage, I see Diotrephes, who is a man who says, I'm going to be in charge. Well, I want you to understand that there are a number of men in this church on that board that they don't say stuff like, I'm going to be in charge. They say, by the grace of God, I have a position of responsibility. I want to serve God and these people as I fulfill my responsibility. In fact, one of the characteristics found in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, one of the characteristics of those in places of leadership in a local church is they do not have to have their own way. So, the first characteristic of a divisive person is prideful. They've got to be first. They've got to have it their way. Look at the second thing. It is found also in verse 9. He says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, number one, who loves to be first among them, number two, does not accept what we say. The second characteristic of a divisive person is they don't come under authority. They're the authority, they think. Here is John the Apostle writing to Diotrephes, and Diotrephes refuses to come under John the Apostle. Can you imagine that? An apostle of Jesus Christ writes this, and this man says, I'm not listening to him. We talked about in that first century, these men sent forth with authority. They're called the foundation of the church, Ephesians chapter 1. And it's a very powerful thing. They do not accept is what he says. John was the last of the apostles. Do you realize that? The last living one. James was killed early, and Peter and Paul were killed in about 67. And now this is around the year 92, 93, 94, 95, somewhere in there. John is still alive. He's the last of the apostles. And he writes. And one of the keys of a divisive person is they do not want to come under authority. And you know, usually it's twofold. They do not want to come under the authority of the Word of God. And number two, they do not want to come under the authority in a local church. See, in this local church, there's actually two sets of authority. There is a board that has been raised up by the body, men to take leadership positions. And then overall, the church, since this is a congregational type church, that you as a body can make decisions. Those that are members can make decisions, and people abide by those decisions. Now, a person who's divisive is not going to come under the authority of the local body or of the leadership. That's Diotrephes. He's not going to do that. And so as we continue to see this, divisive people, first of all, pride, want to be first. Number two, don't come under authority. Now look at verse 10. He says, for this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does. Now we're going to come back to that because we're going to see in just a little bit, how do you deal with the divisive people? Look what he goes on to say. But first is pride. Second, he will not come under authority. Here's the third thing. If I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does. Here it is, number three, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. The third characteristic of a divisive person is they slander. They say bad things about other people. And this person, in a sense, was saying bad things about the Apostle John. That's incredible. I wonder what he said. I wonder what he wrote. I wonder what he talked about. A characteristic of divisive people is they slander. The word is gossip sometimes. They say bad things about other people. This is how division grows within a body. You can almost picture my friend who is a pastor and that other man. And you can see that other man getting off and saying, you know, the pastor doesn't do this, pastor doesn't do this, this man doesn't do this. And before you know it, you have a group of people against him. That's division. That's what he tries to do. This word sometimes is translated gossip. It means to say things about others. And this is how divisive people bring division in the body. They say bad things about other people. Now, what's supposed to happen in a local body? If you live long enough, there are going to be people that you'd have disagreements with. You're supposed to love them. We're all in this thing together. We're to touch lives for Jesus Christ. But sometimes in a local body, there are going to be times when you disagree or when things aren't exactly like you think they ought to be. What do you do? Well, the divisive person is attacks, says things, gets his own little group, and attacks the person. What are you supposed to do? Matthew 18 says that if somebody hurts you, somebody offends you, if there's something not right, you go directly to that person. You don't get and tell other people what these people are doing. You don't tell other people about how bad this other person is. You go to that person one-on-one, and you solve the problems that way. That's what's supposed to happen. Now, Diotrephes wasn't doing that. In fact, as John says, he was unjustly accusing us with wicked words. The word unjustly accusing us literally means nonsense. That's what the word means. It's unjust nonsense. And that's what happens sometimes. What we're supposed to do is solve it. Matthew 18. Do you realize, I want you to think about this, and most of you do. Do you realize just how powerful words are when people say things? I guarantee you that every one of you in this room, you can remember, that if you just think right now, you can remember a time somebody said something about you, even to you or about you, and you heard it, and it still hurts your feelings to this day. You remember that famous saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Did you hear that? You believe that? That's wrong. Sticks and stones may break your bones, and I'm going to tell you what, you can get something broken and you can get well, you don't remember the pain. But you will remember what people said about you and hurtful words and bad things. You will remember them almost as long as you live. Got to be careful what people say. Now, Diotrephes was saying unjust criticism. He was saying nonsense about the Apostle John. And a divisive person will say bad things about other people trying to get their group to bring division. Many of you may remember Karen Carpenter, Richard the Carpenters. I'm old. I mean, I remember them, right? Okay, you may not remember. She was one of the greatest singers of all time. One of the greatest. And she died at age 32 of the eating disorder, anorexia nervosa. If you remember, it was an unexpected death of heart failure at age 32. What caused her to get into this fatal obsession with weight control? Do you know? In one of the interviews, it seems that someone called her. Now, her brother was Richard and Karen Carpenter. Someone called her Richard's chubby sister. And she said, I'm never going to be chubby. I'll never be chubby. She starved herself to death. Now, be careful what you say. Divisive people don't care what they say because their goal is to attack you. And as John says, unjust accusation with, notice, wicked words. Careful what you say. Be careful what you say because there are going to be people in your life, in a local church, sometimes, if you're not careful, there will be divisive people who, number one, they got to be first. Number two, they're not going to come under authority. Number three, they will slander those they are opposed. That takes us to number four. He says, for this reason, when I come, I call attention to what his deeds are, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. Here's number four. Not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and he forbids those who desire to do so. He doesn't receive the other believers. He doesn't receive the brethren. This is talking most likely about helping those traveling evangelists. He's saying that Diotrephes won't help anybody else. He doesn't want anybody else's ministry to do anything. He only cares about himself and his local thing, and he doesn't care about others. And divisive people as a whole only care about their little world and their little thing. They've got to have it. And not only that, he forbids those who desire to do that. They stop others from seeking to help. You know, what's the plan? You know what the plan is? Why are we here? We're here as a local body of believers gathered together to make disciples. That means with using the gifts and the talents and the abilities that we have as we worship our God and Savior, as we get equipped and trained, we then use the gifts and talents to make disciples, which is evangelism and training. That's the plan. We're not the only ministry. In fact, I don't know if you realize this, that our church, at least in this community, we support at least five other ministries in this community. And I checked right before the service started this morning. I was just thinking about our missionaries. We have over 20 different missions and missionaries that we support. I think it's 8 or 9 of them that are out of this country. We have a vision to touch people for Jesus Christ. And we can't do it. We're not the only ministry. Now, the apostrophe says, we're the only thing, and I don't listen to anybody else, and I don't help anybody else. That's not the way this church is. You're seeking to touch lives wherever. So the characteristic is to do their own thing. So what do we got? Got to be first. Won't come under authority. Slanders others. not helps others. And then look at number 5, which is at the very end of the verse. He says, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. He removed people from their body. He said, if you're not going to follow me, if you're not going to do what I say is right, then you can't be here. And apparently he had enough power to move these people out. And sometimes divisive people, if you don't agree, you're gone. Just like that guy said to the pastor friend, listen, I was here before you came. I'll be here after you're gone. If you don't like it, this is the way we do it at this church. Actually, he was saying, this is the way I do it at this church, and you're gone. And that's what divisive people do. It's very powerful. It's very hard. They remove people who are not in their group. So what have we seen? 5 characteristics of divisive people. They have to be first. They do not come under authority. They slander others. They don't help others. And they remove people from the body who don't agree with them. Now, how do we deal with this? You go back to verse 10 because John deals with it and we'll have to go one other place. But look what he says in verse 10. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds which he does. Now, the first thing is to expose the divisive people. Now, John writes and says, if I come, I'm going to call attention to what he does. That's a third-class if in Greek. If, maybe I will and maybe I don't. You know, John doesn't know if he's going to make it there. He may be at least 90 years old, and he's saying, I don't know if I'm going to get to see you. I don't know how long I'm going to live. He says, now, if I come, maybe I will, but maybe I won't. I don't know. But if I come, I will call attention to his deeds. He says, I will expose what he does. And that's one of the things that has to happen in a local church when there is a divisive person that must be exposed. Got to. Now, let me show you very quickly something else. Hold your place in 3 John. Turn over to the book of Titus. Okay? Just turn back toward the first of your Bible a little bit to the book of Titus. You got 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and then after Titus is Philemon and Hebrews. So if you go too far, you'll find it. Titus and Titus chapter 3, we'll look at verse 10. And we'll go very quickly because I know time is just about up. The first thing you do is you expose. Look what Paul says. Now, this is Paul writing. He's writing to Titus, and he's talking about this. Verse 10 says, reject a factious man. The word factious there literally means a divisive man, a man who caused division. He says, reject a factious man after a first and second warning. First, you expose it. Number 2, you warn the person. You warn them once, you warn them a second time. When you warn them a second time, it says, reject a factious man after a first and second warning. The word reject means to remove. And you know what you have to do? I mean, it's so sad. But first of all, you have to expose it. Second, you have to warn them. Third, you have to remove them. Because they will destroy the body. That's their plan. That's their plan. I don't know if you understand that or not, but that's their plan. Very, very powerful. Turn back to 3 John. So he says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, number 1, who loves to be first, number 2, does not accept what we say, and for this reason when I come, I'll call attention to his deeds, which, number 3, he unjustly accuses us with wicked words, number 4, not being satisfied with that, he doesn't receive the brethren, that's number 4, and then number 5, he puts them out of the church. How do you deal with them? First of all, you expose them, you warn them, then you remove them. Look what he says in verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good? He says, look, don't be like him. Don't do the same things he did, but do what's good. Because the one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Now, there's some who take that verse to mean that when it says he has not seen God, that this man wasn't a Christian. I don't really take it that way. I take it that it means to say that he's not living for God. He's not connected with God. He's not seeing God. He's not in fellowship with God. Because I think it almost implies the fact that he may be a Christian, and yet he's not walking with the Lord. And so he says, look, don't do what's evil, do what's good. And John is writing there. Now, let's look quickly at verse 12, because we meet this man named Demetrius. Apparently he was one of those traveling evangelists, traveling preacher teachers that they'd been talking about. And he says, verse 12, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. Now John says, listen, this man Demetrius, he's received a good testimony from everybody. Everybody knows he's standing for Jesus Christ and he's going around teaching the Word of God. And even the truth itself bears witness. He says, you just look at the Bible, he matches the Word of God. So he's giving him a good testimony, basically. He goes on to say, and we also bear witness, John does. And you know our witness is true. John said, I'm an apostle. You know my witness is true. If I say it's true, it's true. And that's what he says. So this Demetrius has a great testimony. And most likely it was Diotrephes who did not want Demetrius to come to their church. That's probably why he's writing this letter. And Diotrephes was a prideful man, a divisive man, had to be first, slandered others, didn't come under authority, did not want to help anyone else and remove people out of the body. And John says, if I get there, I'm going to expose him. Now, he's already exposed him by this letter. And he says, and by the way, Demetrius is a great man. He has a great testimony. He holds to the word of God, and I'm telling you that's true. By the way, how can you have a good testimony? You know how you have one? Two things. You live by the scripture. That's the truth. And you love God and you love others. That's love. You remember the two keys in the book of John, in 2 John and 3 John? Love and truth. Love must be balanced by truth. Truth must be balanced by love. If you're going to have a good testimony, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you got to walk in the truth. You got to live by the scripture. Well, look at the end. He says, now, I had many things to write to you, but I'm not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. I mean, I would like to write more, but I don't want to do that. I'm going to come see you. But I hope to see you shortly. I don't know if I will or not, but I hope to see you shortly. And we will speak face to face. Now, look at the next part of verse 14. Peace be to you. I wonder why he said that. Because most of the time, they don't always end a letter by peace. Sometimes they start a letter by peace, but they don't end it by peace. Well, I think it's because there's not peace there. I think that there's division there in that church where Gaius is. Most likely, Gaius is a part of that church. Diotrephes is one of the leaders in. And John says, look, there's problems there. I wish you had peace. Peace be to you. And then he says, the friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. He says, tell everybody hello. It's powerful. And what have we seen? He writes to Gaius, who walks in the truth, walks in faithfulness, walks in love. He says to expose Diotrephes because he is, first of all, has to be the number one man. There's pride. He does not come under authority, slanders others, won't help others, and removes them from the body. He says, and by the way, Demetrius has a good testimony. Now, let me give you two applications, and we'll close, two or three. The first one is this. This is the key. Let's be like Gaius and Demetrius. Let's be men and women who have a great testimony. People who walk in the truth, walk in love, and walk in faithfulness. Let's let people say, oh yeah, the person is on fire for Jesus Christ. That's what you want to be known as. Let me tell you, there's so many other things that don't mean anything, and we get so wrapped up in what the world thinks about us. But the bottom line is, you want to be a person who lives by the scripture. You want to be a person who loves God and loves others. And you want to be a faithful person. That's the key. So let's be like Gaius. Let's be like Demetrius. We obey the Bible. We love God. We love others. We walk in truth. We walk in love. We walk in faithfulness. There's a second thing, and this is hard. And that's recognize divisive people within the body. Remember the characteristics. There's pride. That person has to be first. Number two, they will not come under authority. Number three, gossip and slander. I read this the other day. Listen to this. Listen carefully. Still dealing with gossip. It topples governments, wrecks marriages, ruins careers, destroys reputations, causes nightmares, spawns suspicion, and generates grief. Even its name hisses. It's called gossip. Before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, forget it. Be careful what you say. Watch your words. A man by the name of Don Basham, he said this, I think is very powerful. He said, sometimes I think the whole Christian world is made up of just two groups. Those who speak their faith and accomplish significant things for God, and those who criticize and malign the first group. It seems to me in my life, I have seen that many of you are on fire for Christ. You are giving your lives for Christ. You are faithfully standing for the truth of God's word. And then there's another group that choose to criticize you for standing for Jesus Christ. Be careful. That's what divisive people do. The fourth thing is they don't help others. The fifth thing, they remove those who disagree. That takes us to the third thing, and that is you got to deal with divisive people. Don't you hate that? He says expose it. Expose them, warn them, remove them. We must do that. Protect the body. You remember when we started? We said that there's two things that the body must be protected from. False teachers from without, divisive people from within. You have a group of men in this church who are the elders and the deacons who have been raised up to positions of responsibility. They have the responsibility on the front end to make sure that they protect this body, not only from false teaching coming in, but from divisive people who are already in the body. 2 John teaches about false teachers. 3 John teaches about divisive people. May we realize that love must be balanced by truth, and truth must be balanced by love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these letters and especially 3 John today, Lord. And we look at it and we realize that we want to be men and women like Gaius and Demetrius. We want to have a good testimony. We want to be known as those who walk in the truth, those who walk in love, and those who walk in faithfulness. May we be faithful people who know and apply the Bible as we love you and love others. But we also want to be able to recognize the divisiveness in the body. See those characteristics of people who refuse to come under authority and have to have the first place and slander others and don't want to be a part of any ministry and remove people away. Lord, help us to recognize that. And Lord, thank you for such a great group of men that you have raised up in this church who are the first line of defense, Lord, in that whole situation. And I just pray for these men that you will use them in a mighty way to protect this church from without and from within. And Lord, we thank you that we have your word. And as we study these two books, 2 John and 3 John, we think about love and truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.